You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Although Shalom Auslander was raised as an Orthodox Jew in Muncie, New York, since the age of 8, he struggled with many of the practices of his religion. Mr. Auslander is a regular contributor to This American Life, and his stories have been published in The New Yorker, Esquire, and other leading publications. And now he has written a book. Actually, it's his second book. It's called Foreskin's Lament. And it starts when he is awaiting the arrival of his first son and debates whether or not the son should be circumcised. The book is published by Riverhead, and I'm pleased to welcome Shalom Auslander to my show today. Hello.
Hi.
So did you really begin writing this book just before your son was born?
I was working on, I didn't know it was going to be about him or about any struggles that I might have with his birth, but I was writing about what it was like growing up in that world, in this kind of Orthodox, pretty fundamentalist world. And the experience of writing it was difficult because I haven't quite gotten rid of that God. He's still in my head.
But had you really come that far that you weren't sure whether you should have your son circumcised? This is an awful lot of people who aren't Jewish have their kids circumcised. I think it's the majority in the United States.
Because it's mandated from a religion that I was having an issue with, It was the issue. That was sort of the moment that push came to scalpel, so to speak, and I had to make a decision about that.
And what did you finally decide?
Well, the book kind of is...
You don't want to give the surprise ending away? Come on, Shalom.
Well, no, the book is about 350 pages of that back-and-forth decision-making.
We'll leave it to the listeners. Imaginations. The title is Foreskin's Lament, and a number of reviewers have said they loved the book but hated the title. What is the significance of that title?
Well, I'd rather they say that than the other way around. The title came from part of the struggle. I didn't know what the title was going to be, but working on the book and struggling with whether or not to circumcise my son, I began thinking quite a lot about this little piece of skin that everyone seems to have an issue with. And I started to relate to it in a probably unhealthy way and realized I'm something of a foreskin myself, cut off and from my family and unwanted the way I am. And I started to feel like maybe there was something in that possibly unfortunate metaphor, but it worked for where I was at the time.
You're right. The people who raised me will say I'm not religious. They are mistaken. What I am is not observant, but I am painfully, cripplingly, incurably, miserably religious. In what ways?
In the idea that, I mean, religious to me is not is about having this God in my head, and I was raised with a furious God, and I can't get rid of that God.
So even if you become an atheist, you still have that God in your head?
Well, I'm not sure the definitions would allow it, but I can't become one or the other because, and I'm not really that interested in what. Where I stand on that, but I know that even sitting here, there's a voice in my head that's that God's voice, this angry old God with a long beard, and he's angry, at the things I say and do, and he's known to be pretty violent.
But if you speak to Jewish scholars, they will tell you the angry God is only one aspect of the Jewish God.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an aspect that was the predominant aspect in my life. If you read the book, and you don't need to read it even pretty closely, that seems to be the prevailing characteristic of the God.
That's what they taught you in yeshiva. You went to yeshiva in Spring Valley,
yeah.
You grew up in Muncie, went to yeshiva in Spring Valley, and all the way through high school. At what age did you begin to have doubts about what you were learning?
It wasn't so much doubts as that oppressiveness began to get to me. And
so
I began
to rebelling?
Get angry at God and started to converse with him in a way that I was taught my forefathers did. And it was contentious.
And what was angering you? That it was so restrictive?
That it was restrictive and just having a dark cloud over your head for so long and having to weigh every decision and the consequences of every decision, even if it's the slightest bit of freedom.
Do you think this is any different for kids in a number of other religions, whether they grow up in a fundamentalist Christian religion or as Muslims or I guess everything but perhaps Buddhists?
I think this is a book about religion. I don't think it's necessarily about Judaism because it's the same God. The God of the Old Testament is the God of Revelations. It's the God of the Quran. It's all the same lunatic.
Did you find other kids who were in the yeshiva with you, 8-year-olds, also shared some of these feelings?
At the time, no one would share any of that because you don't just risk having God's wrath. You have a community's wrath. But last night was the first reading I did for this, and it's incredibly gratifying to see a couple hundred people come over and all say, yeah, that's what it was like, and that's what it remains like for them.
Well, it's not just the yeshiva. This also extends, obviously, to the home life.
Sure.
What was your home life like? How would you describe your father?
Godlike, in the worst possible way.
But he also had drunken bouts.
Sure.
Is that
well? God sounds drunk in a lot of the Old Testament too. I mean,
but isn't alcoholism something that is frowned upon in Judaism?
I don't know that he was an alcoholic. I don't know that it was ever diagnosed. I know that he had too much wine often enough, and there are a lot of things that are frowned on in Judaism that we did and others do too. But I guess when you need a drink, you don't really care.
Do you think that you'd be where you are today spiritually if you hadn't attended a yeshiva for all of your adolescence?
I wouldn't have this relationship with this creator because I wouldn't necessarily know of him. And people do come over to me and say, I just got into either Judaism or whatever religion, and they don't have this perspective.
My guest is Shalom Auslander. His latest book, Foreskin's Lament, a memoir, is published by Riverhead. You describe a time on the Sabbath when your father got drunk at dinner, went down to the basement to beat up your older brother.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something that happened often?
It did happen often, yeah.
What was your brother doing?
Nothing that would deserve that, clearly.
Was he rebelling against Judaism the way you were?
No, not against Judaism, against an abusive father, where I was quiet and tried to just hope everything would work out. He stood for it a little bit less, and probably because he was the more direct target of my father's violence. I was more of a witness to the whole thing.
Did you cut ties completely with your family at some point?
Yeah.
And is that still true?
Yeah.
Did you ever try to talk to your parents about your feelings?
Yeah.
About religion and about
sure.
the way they were bringing you up?
Not when I was going through it, but later in life, in my early 20s, as this sort of split was starting to happen, and I was hoping that I could come to some sort of a happy medium, but that just didn't work out that way.
And then you wrote your first book, Beware of God, which got great reviews. Was that the first time you ever wrote about your unhappy experiences growing up religious?
Yeah, that was the first time. And it began the night I sent a letter to my family asking that we not be in contact for at least a little while.
Uh-huh. So well, that book would have caused a rift, don't you think? And this one,
there's
a total chasm.
It was a kind of a second letter, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
You write, I can't help noticing that every time I begin to make some progress on my stories about God, attacks in Israel increase and I feel guilty and stop. Isn't that just a bit solipsistic?
Of course, sure.
Oh, so you admit to solipsism.
Well, but it's at least self-centered, but I mean, all of religion is. When you're the focus of the creator and everything that you do has an effect on yourself and, in my case, the Jewish people at large or the world at large, that doesn't come out of an overdeveloped ego. It comes out of training.
So that's what they were teaching you, that anything you did was not only noticed by God, but would cause some trouble?
Sure. Everything you do has an effect. And everything in the five books of Moses are people who do things, and they're either rewarded or punished immediately.
There's another Jewish tradition which has it that it's normal and healthy to question God, even expect it. You talk about a constant fear of punishment. Do you think that this is the difference between a strictly Orthodox Jewish education or the kind that you received in Muncie and the more secular Jewish one?
It could be. I only know the one that I was given. And I know that there are certain things said that, like, you can question God and God is merciful, but the 99 other things they're saying is watch it.
So if you had said to your parents, you know, I'm Jewish, I want to remain Jewish, but I'm going to join a conservative synagogue, would they have seen it as the same as converting to Catholicism?
I don't know. I imagine it's you know, you don't make lateral moves in religion.
Well, people do change their religion.
They do, but I imagine the religion they're changing from has very strong opinions on where they're going to. Everyone in that world seems to think they're at the top of the mountain, and everybody else is a bit further down.
How have you chosen to raise your son?
Happily.
You're not going to send him to yeshiva?
No.
Are you fearful that he'll end up with the same all-consuming sense of guilt and fear that you have? After all, he is your child.
He is, but he's already got 3 better years than I do, and that he's 3 years old, and I've never taught him about an angry God or the punishment he might get for not blessing his animal crackers.
Was most of the fun that you had when you were a kid the result of being rebellious or sacrilegious?
It wasn't fun doing those things. It was terrifying, but it's something inside you that just seems to drive you and to push you in that way, but it's absolutely terrifying. I had fun climbing trees, but I lived with a terrible secret, which was that I ate Slim Jims or turned a light on Saturday.
Is your wife as critical of religion as you?
She didn't grow up the way I grew up, and she's not from the States, and so they have a very different way of raising or talking about religion where she's from. She grew up with a love for the traditions, and God isn't all that present. There are candles on a Friday night or on Hanukkah, and so she likes those traditions. So we do some of them, but I have a strict no-God policy. We can light the candles, but we're not going to make blessings.
When I first started reading the book, I couldn't help laughing out loud, but as I got further into it, I began to see an awful lot of pain and bitterness. Do you think this is something that's typically Jewish, to be self-deprecating?
I don't think it's typically Jewish. I think that, at least in my case, it's the only way I know to deal with it.
And you said earlier that you see this as not necessarily intended to just a Jewish audience, that anybody who grew up in a very religious home, or maybe even just a home where there were a lot of rules, will connect?
I think so. I think it's a lot about finding your own way. And one of the things I talk about in the book is that drives me crazy is the story of Abraham is a guy wakes up, looks around, doesn't like what he sees, and he leaves. And ever since that guy left, the three religions that grew out of that are not particularly happy with people doing the very same thing.
Couldn't you just adjust your view of God? Many people have a whole different attitude toward God and interpret your God in a different way.
I'm trying to.
Or is this the only God that you can have, the one that they taught you about in your yeshiva?
Well, every time I try and come up with a pleasant God, the first God seems like he might want to beat him up and probably can. So all this writing is just trying to sort of figure out my place in the world and who might be running it.
The publicity for the book says, Boy Meets God, Boy Loses God, God Comes After Boy. Do you still feel pursued?
I do. I can't, as much as I read, as much as I'm secular, there's still a little voice in the back of my head that says, when you get off the Low Page Show today, you're going to get some very bad news.
Well, that's very possible. Shalom Auslander was nominated for the Coret Award for Writers Under 35. He's written for The New Yorker, Esquire, The New York Times Magazine. And I'm sure listeners are aware that he's a regular contributor to NPR's, or actually it's not NPR's, it's PRI's, even though the book jacket says NPR. PRI's This American Life. His short story collection, Beware of God, was published in 2005, and now there's the memoir Foreskin's Lament, published by Riverhead. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.